Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Not quite. The Payne part, yes.
Yeah.
P-A-Y-N-E. P-A-Y-N-E, which is definitely something we have to make sure that we, because after Wednesday, there's a lot of P-A-I-N.
Yeah.
Mental and physical. Yeah. So we gotta make sure we're clear. But the Pendergast part is not today. What is Sean doing today, by the way, Seth? Is he just taking the day off?
I don't know. He told me a couple times, but you know me. I don't. He's kind of my work wife, so just like my actual wife, I kind of sometimes he's talking, and I'm just like, oh, sure, yeah, sure, Sean. Okay, Shawnee.
Understood.
Yep, I'll take care of it. Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I understand completely. I have that with Mark, because everybody sees me in the building, hey, where's Mark? I'm like, I don't know. Well, he told me he's going to be gone. I don't know. He's somewhere else. So, yeah, I understand. So, John Harris sitting in for Sean Pendergast at dark 30 in the morning, wherever you might be. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to all of you. And I know after Wednesday's game, this is maybe a hard segment to talk about. But, Seth, I'm going to say something as crazy can be. I didn't want to get beat 31-2. On Wednesday. I didn't want to do that. But there was a part of me that was kind of like, you know, if the Ravens go ahead and win, and then they win, whether it's Saturday or Sunday next week, they're going to win the AFC North. And they will be the 3 seed. And in being the 3 seed, it makes the Texans the 4 seed, right?
Yeah.
So that means that the Texans would avoid both Buffalo and Baltimore in the divisional round of the playoff, if the Texans get through their wild card weekend game, obviously. And the way things have gone, I don't think there's any question that the Texans Invitational, which has been joked for many years, will be Saturday, January 11th. Now, I don't know anything to be true, but I got a feeling that's the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And it more than likely looks like it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just looking at things as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So the Texans would more than likely play the Pittsburgh Steelers and then on divisional playoff weekend go to play the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Texans won the other night and then won against Tennessee. They would end up more than likely being the 3 seed, and they would have probably played maybe the Chargers. There's a chance the Colts even.
Yeah.
Broncos, one of those 3. And then they would have to go to Buffalo. So as crazy as it sounds to ask this question, Seth, I'm going to ask it anyways. I'm never going to say a loss is a good thing. But a playoff scenario where you play Pittsburgh at home and then KC on the road versus, say, the Chargers and then Buffalo on the road, I almost want to go with the Chargers, the Steelers-Chiefs situation before I would go the Chargers and the Buffalo Bills. I'd rather go to Kansas City for the divisional playoff round. I've been there. I've been to that stadium. The team has played there this year, as opposed to going to Buffalo, playing in minus 10 degree weather. A team that they've beaten, no doubt, but to have to play in that weather against the Buffalo Bills team that could possibly be very, very good at that point. Your thoughts about being the 4 seed and going to Kansas City potentially divisional playoff round versus going to Buffalo? Yeah. As a divisional playoff round.
The biggest difference, and like obviously the Bills are a different team now than they were when they came to NRG. That evening, Josh Allen really just didn't have any viable receivers.
Right.
So they're a different team, but I'm torn because at least I've seen the Texans defense play really well against the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen.
True.
And without even getting into the X's and O's of all of it, You know, Josh Allen is the better quarterback. They are the better offense this year. Now, I'm not saying he's better than Pat Mahomes overall, but so far they've been a much more potent offense. He's been a much better quarterback this year. There's something about just the taste of success you've had versus them already that almost makes me want that. And then you're kind of rolling the dice on the weather. If it ends up getting lake effect 12 inches of snow or something and it's windy or what have you, then you might be SOL.
Right.
Because I still don't feel comfortable with CJ in bad weather. We haven't had that many examples of it, and yet he hasn't played great when the weather conditions aren't good. So we don't know about exactly where he is right now in good or bad weather. Maybe I'm sick or stupid, but I almost feel like, flip a coin, I'd rather go face the Bills in Buffalo than seeing the Chiefs again, even though the Bills are a better team, I think.
And I think you're right. You know, having had success against Josh and the Bills earlier, it creates for the Bills, if you have success early in that game, of, oh boy, here we go again sort of thing, which I would be down for. And Mahomes has won these games. He's won. My math is right. Colin, check my math on this. I think Patrick Mahomes has won every divisional playoff round game he's played. I think that's right, because
I was trying to think. There was some streak that he broke this year already that was like some kind of regular season's record of winning it, and especially at home. But yeah.
Because they've played the AFC Championship every year since 2018, right?
Yeah.
They've been in six in a row, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23. Yeah, they've won six. He's never lost a divisional playoff game. That's crazy. Now, most of them have been at home.
They're 14-2 in the playoffs since the 2018 season.
14-2.
They're getting to the point where they're kind of like, I'm looking at their playoff record, and it looks like a full NFL season. The playoff record since the 2018, the 2019 playoff, you know, calendar year 2019 playoffs from the 2018 season.
Yeah.
They've had 16 games in that time, and they took a loss in the Super Bowl, and they took a loss in the AFC Championship.
That's insane. So, maybe I'm crazy to think, but I go back to Kansas City. I guess I just don't want that lake effect snow for me, if I'm being brutally honest.
That's the
most important thing.
Josh Allen hasn't always been a great bad weather quarterback either. So not that I'm sitting here thinking that the co-MVP somehow is going to just turn into mush or anything. They're obviously a lot more comfortable with it. But the other part of it, though, too, is the Bills defense, very, very good. The Chiefs defense, very, very good. Except the Bills are a better defense. The Chiefs aren't, the Chiefs are really good when they need to be really good, but they're not overall as good a defense. But Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, and his ability to disguise and confuse really makes me more nervous than the Bills just flat out play good defense.
Yeah,
they don't major in deception as much as the Chiefs do.
That's a great
point.
And
I feel like that's your best bet, is that if you're going to be on the road regardless, man, if you can just go out and play football and not throw in the extra wrinkles that really confound the offensive line or CJ or the receivers at times, then that might be your best option.
Yeah, I think you put it best. Spags does such a good job of disguising things. And you have to be smart when you play the Chiefs. Like, throwing screens at McDuffie ain't going to work.
Yeah.
But I do think you can throw the ball against them. And you obviously have to get it off, and that means you have to protect against Chris Jones. And I thought the Texans had moments, even Kendrick, when Kendrick went in the game. I think Kendrick has actually played decent when he's gone in the game at right guard. Now, the first sack the other day against the Ravens was not. It was a simple little twist, and he completely missed Kyle Van Noy looping back inside.
Yeah.
But I thought for the most part, and that's why I brought it up, Seth, earlier, was we've not seen the offensive line have three guys at the top of the PFF score list all year long. And then all of a sudden, in a game against the Ravens, they give you that, and then CJ plays probably his worst game. Colin, why don't you cue up D'Amico Ryan's number 9? This is CJ being frustrated about the missed throws that he had against the Baltimore Ravens. This is D'Amico Ryan's talking about that.
Yeah, with CJ, he just has to keep playing, right? There are going to be some misses. You just have to keep playing.
Yeah. Mean D'Amico, short and sweet.
Yeah.
There is a part of this plan. I worry about this, Seth, how much physical punishment. He went out of the game near the end of the first half. Looked like there was something with his right arm, hand, wrist, whatever. He's kind of trying to shake it out. He did go back in the game to end the half and then came back out for the second half. But physically, I just worry about where he is physically.
Yeah, and it just does feel like there's definitely been a shift, especially these last 2 weeks, where it's been easier. Previously, it was hard to separate CJ's performance from his surroundings. And you could look at it and say, man, okay, well, the pass protection was really shoddy today. And then, okay, receivers weren't getting open, what have you. And, you know, that's an explanation for some of the other plays that CJ may have made. These last six quarters of football, it feels more like, okay, there's a lot of stuff out there that's just simply on CJ. And is it the culmination of all of that? All of that physical trauma? Is it the injuries that all quarterbacks are playing with by this point in the season? Is it worse than perhaps we know? It doesn't look right out there, and it doesn't look like what, you know, obviously we know CJ's capable of.
And I think, you know, what's the old adage? If the left hand doesn't get you, the right hand will, or whatever the case might be. And I felt like it was maybe kind of that case the other day. I felt like the one play where Mark, Andre, and I on the broadcast during a break, we all kind of stopped and went, whoa, that's weird. Something's up. Uh-huh. Was early in the game. I can't remember if it was the first drive or second drive, and Nico was in the slot, and he runs the sail route to the sideline, and he's wide open. He's got 5 to 7 yards of separation. And CJ overthrew him. And CJ didn't have any pressure, and he overthrew him. And I just went, CJ never does that. Like, he is so pinpoint accurate. That's weird. Because Nico was wide open. I was like, whoa. Because he came out of the slot, and he drove up, and Wiggins was covering. And Wiggins was, he wasn't even in the picture. Yeah. And that's a ball that CJ puts on Nico, and it's 15 yards. And then Nico can probably turn and run once he catches it. And that thing went, I'm like, whoa. And then the very next play, remember, Dalton Schultz, he's got on a little, Dalton was blocking and then released. And so he's got a little flip to Dalton. Dalton's got 40 yards of room. There's nobody there. Nobody. And he kind of jumped up a little bit to throw it to him, and he overthrew Dalton, probably 4 yards away. And I just thought, that's not the CJ we know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of, like you said, what's the accumulation of the trauma of hits on his arm, his shoulder, his wrist, whatever might be ailing him. All of that was just really kind of strange and odd to see on Wednesday against the Ravens.
And that's where I'm with you too. You don't want to make excuses or anything, because there's obviously a lot of stuff wrong with the offense right now. But that's in that specific game, it seemed like it was quadruple of what it was before. And the two biggest things that I'm concerned about are just, A, those inaccurate passes, which, nobody's called him a ball placement specialist all season long. You know, it hasn't been quite right, but that was egregious on those couple of plays. But then the other side of it is the sacks that he's taken. And there's times, I think, when a quarterback is injured or whatever it might be, because it's weird to say I hope it's an injury, but an injury would be better than if he's just mentally frazzled or something. Sometimes in taking those sacks, guys just don't have the confidence that they're going to be able to throw it away without it being a grounding or without it being an interception. And it screws up their decision-making just that much. But yeah, it was just, that was a game that more so than any game all season where it looked like CJ just wasn't right.
Yeah, we got to talk a little bit more about this, but coming up next, we got headlines. The NFL played a football game last night, and it was ugly. I don't know. If you like defensive football, it wasn't so much. We'll discuss that, where the Texans sit in the playoff front, and two bowl games yesterday. Maybe the best college bowl game day ever with the two that we saw yesterday. Ooh. Both teams scored in the 40s. It was awesome if you had the over. We'll discuss that next right here on Payne and Pendergast.